Well, our next segment in our series here, shining the light on October, which is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, we are going to our Western Connecticut partners at the Center for Empowerment and Education for Victims of Interpersonal Violence. The center provides support services in the form of counseling and advocacy, crisis intervention, and emergency shelter for those who have lived and been around Western Connecticut for quite a while. You may remember them as being the Women's Center. This is their relatively new branding, but definitely expanding services to help everyone live a life free from violence 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. The center and their staff and volunteers are there, including my guest this morning, Chief Program Officer Kara During. We will be with you and our conversation as soon as we remind you about something else that's important that you couldn't do. You couldn't spend time with us this morning unless your hearing was in good shape. And the Hearing Health Foundation wants you to protect your ears and to keep listening. If you work in a job where there's a lot of loud noise, it's good to get your ears checked at least once a year. Have you heard about the three D's of hearing health? The first is decibel. That's all about the volume. You've got to turn that volume down. Next is duration. How long are you listening? And finally, there's distance. A lot of people are on earphones now, and the distance to the sound is zero, folks. So above all, remember, if it sounds too loud, it is too loud. So take steps to protect your ears and to keep listening. You can visit the foundation at hhf.org for more details. All right. Well, welcome, Kara. We're here to listen to you now. Good morning. And how are you guys doing here in October? This is really a critical period for organizations like the center, isn't it?
It is. Thank you so much for having us. We're always grateful for the opportunity to share more about the services that we're offering, and especially during the Awareness Month to really spread the word. And this year in particular, we're celebrating 50 years of service. So we have really amped up our events and awareness and programs, and we are obviously wrapping up October, Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and with it, we're wrapping up but still going on our Safe Walk event that is all month long, so people can participate from their homes and move in any way they feel they want to participate and can still fundraise. We have already exceeded our fundraising goal, which has been absolutely incredible to see the community support this year, really tenfold from previous years. So we're really excited to do that to celebrate our 50th anniversary.
Yeah, and as we sort of glumly kind of discussed it in our pre-recording conversation, darn it, 50 years and working to put organizations like yours out of business and no luck. while we chuckle and we're trying to do great work here. It seems like with every new generation and every new era in the development of technology and as interpersonal relationships begin to become so complicated, the problem doesn't go away. It seems to kind of just kind of change costume and come slamming back, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. We are definitely seeing a rise of concerns from young people around relationships with AI and how that impacts their ability to engage in real life relationships, but also understanding what a healthy relationship in real life looks like. Our prevention efforts are really a large portion of the work that we do, because we do, as you said, we want to go out of business. We would love to not be needed anymore. So although we are celebrating 50 years of service because it's so needed, we would love to see a day where our services are no longer needed. And the only way to do that is through education and prevention, which our community impact team does by going into all the schools, providing programs on healthy relationships, boundaries, consent, and bystander intervention and so much more.
Yeah, for the, you know, 30 plus years of the 50 that your organization has been doing its good work, you know, certainly the way young people deal with each other is quite different. And let me just ask you, how important are you and your team stressing the need to get off the screen and get back face to face, and the need for that that hands on interpersonal communication to help both address things that individuals might be feeling that might cause or inspire some sort of a violent incident?
Yeah, we're definitely seeing the impacts of the pandemic, honestly, with a lot of the young people and adults who were isolated for so long, and for young, you know, children who those were their formative development years of learning how to socialize and communicate, build friendships, and all those key development pieces at that those ages that they missed out on due to the isolation. We're still seeing the impacts of that today. So it's a lot of going back to basics of really encouraging empathy and respect and learning how to communicate in a healthy way when you have conflict with your classmates, with your family members, with your friends, or as they get older, with their dating partners. And also really being mindful and, you know, understanding that they are on technology and they're the experts in the technology, but that means we have to help them identify how to utilize technology safely, how to engage with it safely. So what kind of are the red flag behaviors to look out for when they're playing video games and someone tries to contact them, or when they're, you know, engaging or witnessing cyberbullying online? So really trying to help them recognize not just the dangers, right, but understanding how they can engage safely with all the technology that they're utilizing on a daily basis. Mm. And then applying those skills to their in-person, you know, relationships and how to be in a relationship in a healthy way.
Are there anything that you ask educators or parents, caregivers or friends, older friends maybe of younger people who are heading in the wrong direction? Any warning signs that you might want to share that folks can look for and then maybe reach out to the center for the more concentrated and educated help?
Absolutely. The warning signs are really actually very similar for young people or adults. The main ones are isolation. So they're starting to withdraw from their, you know, typical social circle, their friends, their family, or maybe if they're a young person and they're typically really excited to participate in a sport that they're involved in, and then all of a sudden they're not going to practice or they're not really showing up. Maybe their grades are slipping. For adults, it may be that they're struggling at work or their relationships are starting to suffer because of a relationship that they may be in. Other kind of warning signs would be dismissing or denying any of the abuse that may be happening, really defending the behaviors that might be concerning. So if a friend or loved one expresses concern of some kind of controlling behavior and the person responds with, oh, that's just because they love me, they just care about me so much, and they just get jealous sometimes. So those controlling behaviors, over jealousy, possessiveness are really big warning signs to look out for, as well as that isolation and pulling them away from their network. So if you see those warning signs, we encourage to keep open communication with the individual that you're concerned about, not judging them, not blaming them, and trying to avoid telling them what to do because they're already in a controlling relationship. So really just trying to encourage them that you're there for them, that they deserve to feel respected and safe in their relationships, and reminding them that there is a resource like the Center for Empowerment and Education available should they ever need it, and maybe offering to call or go with that person for that support, or just reminding them that they deserve that safety.
One of the other unique things we absolutely need to address in this conversation, Kara, is the fact that your base of operation is in Danbury. You're in one of the most culturally diverse communities and regions in Connecticut, and that brings with it all too many cases, a cultural predisposition for interpersonal violence. It may not be as much the norm here as it was or is for so many individuals from so many countries and cultural backgrounds. How mm-hmm. does the center possibly begin to address the needs of individuals facing interpersonal violence who are coming from a culture and a life and a place where that is so much more the norm?
Yes, that's a great question. We're really proud to have the majority of our staff multilingual, multicultural, to really address and meet the needs of our diverse community. So from our advocates who speak multiple languages and come from different cultures and backgrounds and can relate to the communities that we serve and connect to the communities that we serve, also to our community impact and education team. So our manager of community impact is multilingual and provides services to different cultural centers in our catchment area and really can tailor those programs to meet the needs of those unique communities and the different barriers that they may face when trying to access services, to dispel stigma. We also have a wonderful partnership with the Tribuna newspaper where they provide us the opportunity to provide articles, educational articles, op-eds each month. Mm. And those are translated from English into Spanish and Portuguese. And so that reaches roughly 15,000 readers each month. And we're able to talk about many different topics from domestic violence and red flags to looking out for signs of child abuse and how to support the children in your life to technology, mental health, so many other kind of variables to really ensure that everyone in our community knows what domestic violence and sexual violence is and where they can go for help.
I hate to pin it down to a little over a minute, but if you could just close out our conversation for this Sunday morning on For the People with letting listeners in your region in Central and Western Connecticut know how they can help the Center for Empowerment and Education.
Absolutely. So we are a nonprofit, which means we rely very much on donations, on volunteers. We have a wonderful development team who hosts our awareness events and fundraising events throughout the year. So if you're looking for ways to get involved, we have our annual breakfast and annual dinner after our Safe Walk wraps up. You can go to our website, thecenterct.org. to learn more about ways that you can give, either with donations or by volunteering or supporting our events, or just sharing and spreading the word. Share our information on social media, share our hotlines, talk to your friends and loved ones about our services, and make sure that everyone in your life knows that there is support available.
With 50 years of support and service in the greater Western Connecticut communities around in Danbury, the Center for Empowerment and Education knows abuse takes many shapes and forms and is a challenge to navigate alone. And that's why they want to be your partners in helping you navigate your way out of family violence and interpersonal violence and abuse. They offer hotlines to call if you need assistance. The domestic violence hotline 203-731-5206. The sexual assault hotline 203-731-5204. And their chief of program officer, Kara During, with us this morning to help educate us all about it. Kara, great to talk to you, and thank you so much.